are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Navigating evangelism in a pluralistic and secular society indeed presents unique challenges for Christians. And today we will be discussing how Christians can navigate these challenges while still remaining true to their beliefs. And we are joined once again for this particular conversation by Pastor Mukuka, who's going to be helping us understand how do we navigate these challenges that we face every time we are out there doing our evangelism. And Pundis, good morning. How are you?
Very fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am good as well, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us. I'm going to ask the pastor that before we start, please do offer a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father, Lord, we so thank you for the life that you've given us. Lord, as we share concerning evangelism in another way altogether, we ask and pray in the blessed name of Jesus that, Lord, you may lead, even influence the selection of the words. Father, I ask and pray that to each and every individual who is listening, Lord, be with them, bless them with understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, you know, we learn daily, and today we're going to be learning what is the meaning of pluralistic society. You know, what is that? How do we define that? And what unique challenges that is pose for evangelism? Because just by looking at the word, I'm just thinking that, hey, it's a lot of mixture that is happening there in this particular society. So how do we define it, Mfundisi?
Thank you so much. Just like you have asked, what is pluralism, and also what are the challenges that come with pluralism? It is actually defined in many ways. The word is defined in many ways. First of all, one definition of pluralism can be this is a society where multiple groups aim to influence policies and work collaboratively in the governing process. You know, these are groups which can determine, which can be determined by culture or beliefs, where each group maintains its unique identity and is accepted by other groups altogether. So, for example, this is a community where people have got different cultures, different beliefs altogether, and then they demand that those cultures and beliefs, they are accepted. Another definition, if you may wish to have another one, pluralism can be defined as the idea that there are several perspectives about God or reality, and each is true for the person who believes in it, and no one should judge that a different perspective rather is a wrong one. For example, if at all I believe a certain way which may be strange to you about God, that is okay and right to me, as long as I believe that it is okay and it is right. So you shouldn't come and judge me and tell me that the understanding that I have about God or the belief is wrong altogether. So that is the definition in two fold about pluralism. Now, the challenges, just like we have mentioned, for example, if I am saying, if I believe to say, actually, I was reading another book that I've just, I can't remember properly the title. It actually indicated to say Jesus Christ was a boyfriend to Mary from Magdalene.
Yeah.
Yes. So if that is what I believe about Christ, that he was a boyfriend, and actually Mary Magdalene even did some act of romance in touch to Jesus Christ when she came to anoint his legs. If I believe it so, you shouldn't come and refute that idea or understanding about Christ. Others believe that Jesus Christ was crucified upward. That is what others believe altogether. And others believe to say he was not crucified on the cross. So that is their belief altogether. Now, when we are dealing with a pluralistic community, I should not come and refute and refuse them from such belief altogether. Because as long as them believing it to say, this is how it was, this is how it is, I have to respect them.
Okay.
So just by that alone, it poses a very great challenge on how to navigate in areas of evangelism and how to penetrate in people's lives altogether in such an area. India has been mentioned to be that kind of a country which has got a lot of such altogether, where it is very difficult to convince someone about something that they've believed in for many years altogether. So otherwise, those are the challenges that come in. If you are too weak in spirit, you can't even continue to talk with such people altogether, because they have the right to abide by what they know, to keep in their head so precious that which they hold. So actually, that is the challenge. It poses a challenge, especially to those that are weak in evangelism. They can't even continue to preach, or rather to extend the message, if they understand about these issues.
So Mfundisi, now looking at that, I think you said you forgot the book. I was going to ask you what's the name of the book so we can read. But then now, how do we balance, you know, the sharing of faith authentically while respecting the beliefs and the perspective of others in those particular societies? You know, whenever you even gave us the example of India, how then now do we go to such places, Mpuniswami, to share about Jesus Christ, but whilst we are still respecting, you know, their own societies, their own cultures and everything else? Because it can be quite challenging.
Thank you so much. It is indeed very challenging and difficult to penetrate and preach the word in such areas altogether. But I feel, and I have actually discovered, that the best way to evangelize to such people and to share the word to such people is first of all, you have to understand, to say people have got a different understanding about the Bible altogether. The fact that we have got different churches altogether, the fact that we've got different days when people go to church, even if in the Bible we've got only one particular day which the Bible tells us this is the day that we can rest, we need also to understand that people will always understand the Bible differently. But that doesn't make them right for the fact that people understand the Bible differently. Now, so after understanding that people understand things differently,
yes,
how now do we approach them? Number one is, as an individual, you first need to understand what you stand on and what you believe in. Because if you do not understand what you believe in, it will be very difficult for you to convince someone to believe in what you're teaching. So the first thing is, first of all, show confidence that you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know what you believe in, and you know to say, this which I believe in is for sure true, and I'll stand firm like a needle to its pole. That is number one. That is number one. Number two, you have to understand to say, no matter how wrong someone is in what they hold, no one loves to be judged over things that they hold so dear to them. Actually, you may not even understand when someone started learning about those things. So if you go to that person with a judgmental mind, you and me will not make it to evangelize to such people who are closed up with such an understanding or such a life altogether. So number one is, let us understand ourselves and be firm in what we believe in. Number two, let us make sure that we don't judge people, but rather reason with them. For example, if I know someone who drinks beer and they defend that by saying Jesus Christ made alcohol, or rather wine, so I have to partake. When I go to them, I don't have to begin to judge them, yes, but rather I have to go to them and reason with them, just like Jesus Christ does not judge us, but rather reasons with us, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. So the problem is, many of us, we want to approach sinners with a judgmental mind, and like approaching them with a reasoning mind. Because here's a person maybe who is 55 years and I am maybe 35 years. It will be very difficult for me to convince this person to say, what you believe in and what you've believed in is false, and believe in what I'm telling you. Just the years that we have lived on earth will be a barrier and a challenge altogether. So I have to approach that person to reason with them and show that I have confidence in what I'm talking about. I think the third one is we also have to leave what we tell people, because sometimes we pretend too much. We pretend too much sometimes, you know. For example, I'm preaching and telling someone to say it is wrong, and it has got a negative impact when you hold a grudge with someone. Please, God expects you to forgive, but yet I have a grudge against my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You see? So that is a challenge. So we need to learn to leave what we teach, what we preach. Actually, I've come to understand in life to say the greatest the greatest method of evangelism is living what we preach. If we don't live what we preach, it will be very difficult and very challenging altogether. People actually have approached other people to ask them if they are Christians, not because they preached about Christianity, but because they lived like Christ. So we have to live like Christ.
Yes.
I think the last thing is the last thing we can do also is us to live like Christ altogether, to live like Christ altogether, and to show that there is a scripture that I love so much, which defends and talks against pluralistic community and society altogether. That is Acts chapter 4 verse 12, where the Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So there is only one name that we are given by which we can be saved. So this scripture and verse to me, it actually stands firm and strong to fight against pluralistic approach of things altogether.
So Mfundisi, seeing that we different, right? Even in this pluralistic society, you know. So how do we now address, or how do we discuss, or do we get accustomed to the issue of cultural sensitivity, when it comes to effective evangelism, because we are diverse. So for example, when you come this side, I think in Africa in general, you can't speak to your elders and look at them in their eyes. You know, you can't. It's seen as being disrespectful. Whilst there are other cultures, when you come into the home, others you have to sit first before you greet. Others you greet first before you sit. It's a lot. But now, how do we go around those things? Because we don't want to go and evangelize to Pastor Kennedy, and we are offending him because, for example, when I shook his hand, I did not bend. You know. Or maybe I bend and it means something else in his culture. How do we go around such?
Thank you so much. That is what others actually will call thicker gospel. Now, what is thicker gospel? When people say thicker gospel, this is their ability actually to share the gospel of Christ, more effectively to people of other cultures, to share the gospel effectively with people of other cultures. One thing that we have to understand is we all have different cultures and different approach to things altogether. For example, in the African culture, when you are giving something to someone using the left hand. If it's an adult, actually, they can even slap you, telling you to say, you are so disrespectful. in that manner.
Yeah.
And other areas, actually, if you, for example, in my country, Zambia, if you go to, especially in deep rural areas, you go there, you're wearing sneakers, you're wearing just a T-shirt, and then maybe canvas like that, and then you're preaching in front, you don't even have a tie, you're preaching to them like that. No one can even get what you're saying. You just see the old folk begin to go outside and leave you alone. They'll actually even make a meeting outside, beginning to discuss how disrespectful you are. Yes. There are some areas here in Zambia you can't preach with canvas in canvas. You just can't. You don't have a tie. You can't. You don't have a jacket. You can't preach. You can't preach. And again, in these areas, you know, if you, there is a certain kind of haircut that a preacher should be in. If I told you, you have a certain haircut altogether, even the elders of the church cannot allow you to stand in front to preach because they consider you to be the worst sinner in that place altogether.
Hi, Fundis. I'm not coming then.
Exactly. do you actually know to say there are other places actually right here in Zambia where if at all you've got wigs, you're wearing wigs and then you can't even be allowed to stand in front to chorus. To see, you can't because you are considered a Jezebel altogether.
Aibo.
Yes, you can't stand. So these are issues that we are talking about now. So now, how can we make sure that we go to such places even before we discover who they are, what they believe in, their cultures? How can we preach to such people? Because in fact, those are places where we need to now discover and discuss the role of cultural sensitivity in effective evangelism. Mm. So in that way now, we have to also go to the Bible and find out what are some of the things that our elder evangelists did in the past altogether. Are there certain things that they considered which helped them in these areas altogether? Because when you read Acts chapter 21 verse 37 to 40, and also Acts chapter 21 verse 37 Acts 17 verse 16 to 21, you would discover that Paul had challenges and issues altogether. How to just navigate and enter the unentered areas altogether and preach to them, to the Gentiles and to others altogether. Actually, others even asked him to say, "Do you know how to speak Greek? For you to speak to us."
Hey.
Yes. Do you know how to speak Greek for you to speak to us? You know, these are issues that Paul went through together. But the good part of Paul is that he mastered the art of understanding who people are, what people dress, what people speak, what people eat, so that when he goes in that area, he has a better way altogether to talk to them and to manage them altogether. So number one, we need also to understand Paul understood that God is for all cultures, and that no matter how different our cultures may be, there is evidence of God in every place and time. In such an area, which I was just trying to describe altogether, to say, when you go there as a woman, you're wearing a wig, you can't be able to sing in front, can't be able to read the scripture altogether. But we need to understand to say, even in such places altogether, even in places where they don't believe in such things, God is evident in that place. When we read the book of Esther, from chapter 1 to chapter 10, you will never find the word God or Jesus or Lord or Messiah in that book. But yet, God is evident in the actions in whatever they are doing. So when we go to such places altogether, we need to understand and believe to say, even if such people exist altogether, there is God somewhere which they have actually not yet just identified that they, in some way, they believe that God exists and God is there. We have to understand that in every culture, there is some kind of God in it altogether. But sometimes the way they extend their worship is just maybe misplaced. So number to understand that. Number two, we need to understand that culture affects how people see the world and how people respond to sin. You know, each culture is dominated by guilty, by shame, by fear, and God meets people where they are with the good news of Jesus Christ. So even us, we need to understand to say, culture shapes people in a different way. The way I look at sin, actually, when you look at my culture and the way I look at sin, you will see some level of similarity altogether. And because of my culture, I'm influenced to look at sin in a certain way. So you and me, you, when you come to me to evangelize to me, first of all, understand to say culture shapes people and affects people in different ways altogether. So as you come to me, understand first of all, what is my culture?
Yay.
How do I dress? And how do I speak? What are the do's and the don'ts in my culture? And is my culture all sin? Because some cultures are not a sin. Some cultures are not against the Bible. We can't run away from culture. Because even as we present such message in this way, to be sensitive with our culture, we are not saying culture is all evil, culture is all bad. Culture is good. You actually discover to say some of us are what we are today and are in the church today because culture pushed us to accept even Christ. So basically, we have to understand to say culture shapes people in a different way altogether. Maybe the last one in this, we can also understand to say we need to be interested. We need to be interested to know the culture by asking questions because, yes, I know there are some people who are so sharp.
Yeah.
They can learn things just by observing. But until we ask open-minded questions, then we will know the type of cultures people hold, and then we will now know how to be so sensitive with culture. I know of a certain place where someone went to preach there, and then they used a certain word which is okay in their language, but where they went there, that is the very biggest insult altogether. So all these things we have to understand them.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, it's very good, Mundiswam. You know that you came to highlight today. I'm still stuck on the Zambian ones, but we're gonna chat offline so that I can best understand. So that when I find myself that side, you know. I do things the right way. But the point is, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that we may understand, you know, the challenges that are out there and how we can deal with them when we go out to evangelize.
Thank you so much. The challenges and the strategies that we can employ to build genuine relationship with people of other faith and secular beliefs before sharing our faith altogether. We need to understand also to say we have to respect the differences of culture and the differences that people hold altogether, because everyone wants to be respected, and when someone feels respected, they'll know that this is the person that I can share my burdens to, this is the person I can share prayer requests to, this is the person who is like my friend altogether. So when we build even friendships, we will even know how to talk with our friends who are stuck in this area altogether.
Indeed. Pray for us, Fundisi.
Thank you. Let us pray after all this. Our kind and loving Father, Lord, we say thank you for your love, your care, and above all for the life that you keep giving us every day. Father, we ask and pray that you may help us, Lord, to navigate in these areas, Lord, and to penetrate in people's cultures, in people's lives, and be a medium through which, Lord, you will spread your word. Father, God, Lord Almighty, I want to pray and ask in your name that, Lord, may you add a blessing to each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, that you may continue to bless us with wisdom and with more understanding of your word, so that we don't mislead, but Lord, lead people to the fountain of water, to the fountain and the pool of the blood, where if we are dipped there, we have our sins forgiven. And Lord, if at all we've found ourselves stuck in these areas, may you come in, O God, and correct us. If at all, Lord, we have misrepresented you in one way or the other in evangelizing, in doing evangelism, may you come through, O God, and correct us. I pray, God, that you may bless all those that paid attention, Lord, and those that spared their precious time only to listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mpundisi. Have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much and blessed day too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.